Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Hallelujah. Now faith is the substance of things that we hope for. It is the evidence of things that we haven't yet seen. Hallelujah. Now, last week I began sharing on what I entitled, "What a Christian Should Hope For." Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are Christians. We are children of God. Are you listening to me? We are not Muslims. We are not Buddha children, if there's something like that. What other religions are there? Hindus, we are not Hindus. We are not Hare Krishna. We are Christians. Christian means those who want to be like Jesus. Those who are Christ-like. Those who have Christ living in them. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Now, everybody is hoping for something. Some people are hoping for marriage. Some people are hoping for education. Some people are hoping for jobs. Some people are hoping for children. Some may be hoping even just for food to eat. Some may be hoping for clothes. Everybody is hoping for something. But as a Christian, your eye must be better than the eyes of people who don't know God. Your hope must be deeper than just hoping for food. When an animal wakes up in the morning, the only thing that they can think of is food. Once they've eaten, they sleep. When they wake up, food. I sometimes see our dogs where we live. You know, if I've got food on my hand, their eyes will be so much on the food. If I do this, they will jump. If I do this, the food is their full concentration. And we must be better than animals. God didn't give us a soul for nothing. Our hope must be greater than the hope for material things. So I told you that as a Christian, one of the things that you must hope for is salvation. God saving you and I from eternal flames in hell, from the judgment of God. God must save us. As a believer, you must hope for this. When you hope to be saved, you will live in a manner that you will ensure that you will be saved. Are you listening to me? I told you we must hope for eternity. We must hope for the resurrection. We must hope for Christ being in us so that we can partake and experience and enjoy the glory of God that God wants us to experience with Christ. Are you listening to me, somebody? So today, I want to continue from where I left off last week. I had not planned to preach in series, but it is becoming that way. Now, one of the greatest things that you can hope for as a Christian is not to be rich. In fact, the Bible says the love of money is the root of what? I can hear you. Of all evil. Jesus said, it is almost impossible for a rich man to do what? To enter into heaven. So, when you are hoping to be rich, you are endangering your chances for heaven. Amen. I knew you won't say amen. Pastor, what do you mean? I must be poor. No. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus became poor so that we may be rich. But when your whole heart is on money, it's dangerous. So the greatest thing that a child of God can hope for is to be like Jesus. I said it's to be like Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. Every day, I want to be like him. Every day, I long to be like him. He's my role model. He's my superstar. He's my Beyonce and my, and who else do you people, the most people of the world like? He's my Jay-Z and Casper in your vest. Can I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
He's the person I look up to. When I see and read about Jesus in the Bible, my desire is that what he did, I also want to do. The relationship he had with his father is the type of relationship I want to have with my heavenly father. The miracles he walked in, the power that he walked in, that is the aim of my life. I want to be like Jesus. That is the hope that I have. The Bible says we know that when he appears, we will be like him. That is my plan. That when he appears, when he looks at me, it's like he's looking at a mirror. I can't hear your amens.
Amen.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 29. Romans, chapter 8, and verse 29. Are we there? If you are there, say amen. All right, the Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. So, God wants you to be like Jesus. God wants you to be like Jesus. God wants you to be like Jesus. Pastor, what is the will of God for my life? He wants you to be like Jesus. If you read your Bible and look at what Jesus did, God wants you to do the same things. If you look in the Bible and see the faith of Jesus, God wants you to have the same faith.
Amen.
You and I must be like Jesus.
Amen.
Your amens are not blessing me.
Amen.
We have to be like him. That must be our greatest hope. That must be our greatest achievement in this life as children of God, to be like Jesus. If we can become like Jesus, we would have succeeded in this life. That is what God wants. God is not moved when you've got all the money in the bank. God is not moved when you have the nicest car. But when he looks at you and he sees that you look like his son, those are the things that God wants. Are you listening to me, somebody?
Amen.
So the greatest hope for a believer must to be like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is very important. If you don't have such a hope, you are endangering your eternal life. I'm the type of pastor that wants to guarantee your future and your future with God. I can preach in so many ways that by the time I finish preaching, you will say, wow, I passed you Shaile and I'm flange. But I don't care to impress you. I care to tell you the truth so that you can be like Jesus Christ. Because that's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Because his desire is to be like Jesus. And he says, as you follow me, we will all be like him. Am I talking to somebody? Now, there is something that I want to focus in today that Jesus excelled in. Jesus excelled in walking by faith. Jesus was a man of faith. He's a gentleman who believed God against all odds. One day his friend had died, and he got a message that, hey, your friend is dead. And when he heard that his friend is dead, he continued going on with his business. Then 4 days later, he said, now let's go and see him. Then they said, but he's dead. By now, I'm sure he is buried. Where are we going? He said, let's go. When he got there, people were crying. And his friend's sister said, Lord, if you had come here earlier, our brother would have survived. Jesus said, take me to his grave. When he got there, he prayed a simple prayer. He said, Father, I know that you hear me. The only reason I'm praying is so that these people listening to me can believe. When he finished praying, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days and had been buried. Even his sister said, Lord, by now he's stinking. The body has started rotting. But Jesus had so much faith that even when the situation was dead, there was no hope at all, he still had the faith to call Lazarus from the dead. And indeed, Lazarus came out of the grave hopping towards Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that we can take from Jesus is that he believed in God against all odds. Against all odds. When the situation looked dead, when everything looked lost, when there was no more hope, he continued to believe.
Amen.
And I think we must learn, because we want to be like him. Amen. To be people of faith. To be people who believe God. Even when everything in our lives look like it can never change, but we must believe in God that God can change our situation.
Amen.
Even though you've been sick for years, you've even gotten used to living with the sickness. Hey, you must still believe that your God can change the situation.
Amen.
Even though you've not had a job for 10 years, I tell you, you must still believe that God can change your situation.
Amen.
He can change it. And Jesus believed. He believed. Death to him was not a problem. One day he was walking with his disciples and they passed a funeral. And as he looked at the funeral, he noticed that a woman had lost his son, and her only son was in the box. And the Bible says that he looked at the woman and he had compassion for her. And he went, and the Bible says he put his hand on the box, and the Bible says the dead man stood up and started talking. What faith! What faith. And there are many people in the Bible who had this same type of character like Jesus. When you read the Bible, it's like you are reading a movie. You know, it's only in movies where someone can jump and fly. And sometimes when you read the Bible, it's like you are watching a movie. The Bible says his disciples were in the water. And they saw someone walking in the water, walking on the water, walking on the water. It's only in movies. But Jesus did it live because of his faith. Would you even think about walking on water? Oh. But he had faith. Mom Ruth says, I can't swim. So she won't even come close to the water. Can someone say about you that you are a woman of faith? Can someone say to you that you are a man of faith? Because it is your faith that brings manifestation that you're a child of God. It's your faith. I say, it's your what? It's your faith. It's not your intellect. You know, I have been to meetings. I remember one day I went to a meeting at the airport in Johannesburg. And there was a woman standing there. You know, I can speak English. I think I can try. What do you think? And there was a woman there who was presenting something to us. As she was talking, I said, man, this woman can speak English. She was black like me. Her skin color was like mine. But her English, I couldn't even hear what she was saying. I was just marveling at her English. And as she was talking, I started desire. If only I can speak English like this girl. I always hear people saying that, hey, uskipa ngamakala. And I've always heard that. I've never understood it until that day. That this woman, her English, uskipa ngamakala. So God is not impressed with our English. Not impressed with our clothes. He's impressed by our faith. And as a child of God, you must be a person of faith. When you face challenges in life, your faith must arise. Your faith must arise. As a student, you must be someone who has faith. As a mother, you must be someone with faith. Believe for your children. Believe. As someone who is working, you must be a child of faith. Don't put your hope in your job. Put your hope in your God. Am I talking to somebody? Now, for the little time that I have left, I want to teach you what is faith. What is faith? Now, the scripture that we just read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, this scripture is a very famous scripture. And I've been a pastor for a number of years. And even before I became a pastor, I had been preaching for a number of years. But every time I read this scripture, I felt that I don't understand. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What does that mean? So one day, I remember I was still working and I was sick that particular morning when I woke up. And I called at work and I said, I'm not coming in. I'm not feeling well. When I woke up, I decided to take my Bible and read. And one day, as I was reading, for the first time, I understood what the scripture means. The Bible says, now faith is the substance. Now the first thing that I wanted to understand is what does it mean when it says faith is the substance of things hoped for? What is that substance? What is substance? So I began to research and I found out that the word substance means ultimate reality. Huh? The word substance means the ultimate reality. In other words, the scripture should read, now faith is the reality that is hoped for. It is the reality that is hoped for. Pastor, what are you talking about? Sanile, please come. Quintus, come quickly. One of you stand this side, one of you stand that side. Now, in life, there are two realities at all times. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you come from. I don't care whether you are male or female. I don't care your skin color. There are two realities in life. Someone say two. There is always the natural reality. There is always the spiritual reality. In the natural reality, things are tough. There's no food. I'm sick. I'm going through pain. I'm going through challenges. The spiritual reality, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am an overcomer by faith. There is always two realities. 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 I'm teaching you something very, very important. Now, when the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, it means that as a believer, even though you feel that this is your situation, as a child of God, you must be able to see that there is another situation that I can be experiencing. So now faith is when you are able to see that situation and choose the situation. You may still be here. You may be experiencing pain, but you know that by His stripes I am healed. Amen. The reality of God, the true reality, is that I am healed. The natural reality is that I'm feeling pain. When I wake up, it is sore. I'm struggling in life. It is even difficult to wake up. But as a child of faith, you can see that there is another reality that I can have. There's another reality that I can experience. And that is God's reality. So Jesus had the ability that even though he is living in this realm, he can see into that one and can bring this one into his realm. In this reality, when you are dead, you are dead. But in God's reality, when you are dead, you are alive. Now, faith is the ability to see God's plan. Faith is the ability to see God's desires. Faith is the ability to see God's love. Faith is the ability to see that God has a better plan for me, a better life for me. So a child of faith is someone who can make the decision that though I'm feeling what I'm feeling here, but I can come here. And you make the choice that even though it looks impossible, I believe. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you. Somebody say, I believe. I can't hear you. Somebody say, I believe. I believe in miracles. I believe in the word of God. I believe that God can do anything. I believe. I believe that God can save my children. I believe God can change my life. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. Somebody say, I believe. Now let me show you this happening practically in the Bible. 2 Kings. Chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 8. Are we there? Give me a little bit more volume. I feel like I have to shout. Ha riba ole karande riba sondera kadabrodos. Ripa kateke raba koraba shanderikai. Ela brandir katrebelo opradato paladelo sobias. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, from verse 8, the Bible says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians came down. Verse 10. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, None, my lord, O king. But Elisha, someone say Elisha.
Elisha.
Say it like a soldier, Elisha.
Elisha.
I like this man of God. But Elisha the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in the bedchamber. Now what was happening here is that there was a king from a country called Syria. There's still such a country till today. It's next to Israel up there in the Middle East. Now this king was planning against Israel. Planning to attack their armies. Now, as he sat with his generals and with his soldiers, they started planning that, we have intelligence that the Israelite army will be passing by Day Hospital, Dacha. And immediately as they are planning, Elisha would hear the voice of God. And Elisha will receive revelation that the Syrians are planning to attack the Israelites next to their hospital. So Elisha will go to the king of Israel and say, Hey, don't make the mistake of going through their hospital because the Syrians are waiting to ambush you there. So the king will send soldiers to ambush the ambush. He will send soldiers against the soldiers that are waiting for them and kill them there. And the Bible says this thing didn't happen once, nor did it happen twice. In other words, every time they planned against Israel, Elisha heard it and went and told the king. So one day the king of Syria said, one of you, my generals, you're a spy. Someone here is telling them our plans. Then one said, My king, it is not so. There is a man of God called Elisha. The things that you speak in private in your bedroom, he hears them and goes and tells the king of Israel. When I was reading this, I said, God, where are these men of God today? We need such men of God who will go to the union buildings and say, Cyril Ramaphosa, be careful. Your amens are not blessing me. So this king of Syria said, our problem is this gentleman called Elisha. So he sent an army against one man of God. He sent an army. The strength of a nation is their army. The reason why people are afraid of America is because of their army. He sent his strength against one man of God. One gentleman who had faith. When you are a praying person, you are dangerous. You are stronger than a nation.
Amen.
And let's read and see what happened when they came to Elisha's home. Let's read from verse 13. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore, send he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, and behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, How shall we do? So this man of God had someone who was serving him. And this young man, when he woke up in the morning to do his business, he saw an army of soldiers surrounding the city where they were living. All these soldiers had come against Elijah. So this young man said, "Yo, we are dead. We are finished." Hey! Verse 16. This is Elisha now talking. And he answered, "Fear not." Tell him, never say, "Fear not." Fear not. Tell him like you're a man of faith. Say, "Fear not." Tell her like you're a woman of faith. Say, "Fear not."
Fear not.
There are situations in life that when you experience them, the first reaction you have is you are scared. Have you been in such situations? The first experience is fear. You lose your job. Ha! Your mind goes crazy. How am I going to pay for this? How are we going to live? How? The first experience is fear. But the man of faith said, "Fear not." I want to encourage somebody that whatever it is that you are going through, don't be afraid. Your God is bigger. I said, your God is bigger.
Amen.
I said, your God is bigger than any problem.
Amen.
He's bigger than any situation.
Amen.
Fear not. Fear not. He said, "Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Listen to this guy. That time, it was just two of them. But he says to his servant, "Hey, we are more than them." An army was surrounding them. And he says, "Don't worry. Those who are with us are more than those who are against us." But when the young man looked around, he said, One day, a certain pastor wanted his church to grow. And his church was small. And he wanted it to grow. He tried outreach. He tried prayer sessions. He tried fasting. He tried worship night. He tried everything. But the church remained small. And one of his friends, you must be careful about your friends. One of his friends came to him and said, "I know somebody who can help you to make your church grow." And the pastor had tried everything and he said, "Take me there." And they took him to a place that when you have to go in, you have to go to God. Hey! A pastor, a full pastor, full-blown pastor. So they went there and they kneeled down. When that person walked in, the one that they came to consult to, the first thing he said, "Hey, why have you brought all these people to my house?" When the pastor said, "But it's just me and my friend." He said, "I cannot help you until all these people leave my house." Now the pastor was so shocked. What is going on here? So he just said, "Hey, anyone who came with me here, get out of here." Someone say, "Get out of here." And even though they couldn't see anything, whoever was there must have left. Because then the person said, "Now I can help you." Sometimes it looks like you are alone, but you are not alone.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How the king had decided to throw them in fire. But when they went into the fire, the Bible said nothing happened to them. Even their clothes were not touched by the fire. When the king looked closely, he said, "Hey, didn't we put three people in the fire? How come I'm seeing four?" Someone say four.
Four.
You are not alone. 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 You must just understand and have the ability to see the reality of God. You just need to open your eyes. Let's finish the scripture. What verse was I in? 17. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. So after the man of God prayed for the young man to open his eyes, suddenly the man saw the armies of God. The place was full of angels everywhere. Not normal angels. Angels that were riding on horses of fire, on chariots of fire. If you see that, will you be afraid? You will never be afraid. I decree in the name of Jesus that you are surrounded by angels in the name of Jesus. I decree that your family is surrounded by angels in the name of Jesus. I decree that your job is protected by angels in the name of Jesus. I decree in the name of Jesus. Fear not. Fear not. So this is why Jesus was able to succeed in everything that he did. He was a man of faith. And what is faith? The ability to see that there's more than one reality. And it is the ability to choose the reality that God is showing you. Now, as a child of God, you have to walk by faith. I don't care what situation is facing you. Not realize and understand that that is not the only situation. You can choose the one that God is talking about. You can choose. You can choose. You can choose. Now, you and I are not prophets. The chances of seeing angels around us, maybe we cannot see. But God has given us his word. His word is enough. His word is enough. His word is enough. You are sick. What does the Bible say about your sickness? By his stripes, I am healed. Now you can decide that, look, I'm going to live with my sickness. It's okay, I'll manage the pain. Or you can decide that, but my Bible says I am healed. One day, a certain pastor decided and said, I will never be sick. He just made a decision. I will never be sick. And so one day he was going to preach. And he started feeling something coming down on his nose. And he kept on going. And he noticed that, hey, flu. But he said, no, I will never be sick. Then he said, he prayed in his heart. He said, Lord, I'm going to preach. If, what do you call? Mafinyila, maing, mamina. If they come down, he said, I will not wipe them. If they go into my mouth, I'll continue preaching as they are going into my mouth. That was the prayer he prayed to God. And he went to preach and he said, that was the last time he ever had flu in his life. Hey, there are levels. Someone say there are levels. But you must start where you are and start taking acts of faith. Acts of faith. Maybe someday we will get to that level where we can believe that sickness will not touch us. But the more you climb and you conquer, you have faith for the next one. The more you climb and you conquer, your faith will be stronger for the next one. Are you listening to me? Amen. So start where you are. Believe God for something. Believe God for your situation. Sometimes God may not do something in the immediate, but that doesn't mean you must stop believing. Keep believing, keep trusting day after day. Keep believing in God week after week. Keep believing month after month. Keep believing. God cannot go against his word. He cannot. He cannot. So if you stand on his word and keep believing, whatever you are trusting him for, it shall come to pass. It shall. It shall. I want to encourage everybody here that our greatest desire must to be like Jesus. And one thing you can see clearly in Jesus' life is that he walked by faith. He kept believing regardless of how bad the situation was. As a child of God, I want you to challenge yourself that from today, I will believe. From today, I will trust God. I'll keep walking with Him. Even then, when they laugh at me, I'll keep believing. Even when it looks like nothing is going well in my life, I will keep believing. I know my God is a loving God. I know my God is a good God. And I know that He is with me. I will keep believing. I will keep believing. I will keep believing.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Will you keep believing, somebody? Let me share with you one more scripture and then we close. Come to the book of Mark chapter 5, verse 22. Mark chapter 5 from verse 22. Are you there? Mark chapter 5, verse 22. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. The Bible says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death." In other words, he was saying, my child is so sick that she can die anytime. Then he said, "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live." You know, as a pastor, I've seen some great miracles. God has done some great things through my life. Are you listening to me? And one thing I've noticed is that when I pray for people, if I come to an atmosphere of faith, God always does something. The difference is always the atmosphere of faith. One day we were at church, and after service, one of our church members came to us and said, "Pastor, one of my cousins is sick. Please come and pray for her." And so we went. I called some people and we went together. When we got there, you know, I thought it was just one of the normal sicknesses, but when we arrived, that woman looked like she could die anytime. The way she was breathing, I was starting to be afraid myself, the pastor who had come to pray. I was starting to be afraid. But this guy believed that if my pastor can come and pray, something is going to happen. So we were standing there on his faith. And as I was looking at the situation, me, myself, I was losing faith. Then I told the people who were there with me and said, "Let's start worshiping God," because I needed to connect so that I can start having faith. We started worshiping, and faith grew in my heart. Then I laid my hands on the woman. To cut the long story short, the woman who looked like she was about to die, she walked us out to our car. Faith is very important. One day, when I was still living in Naumapias, one of our church members called us, said, "Pastor, this and this is happening." So I said, "Don't worry, it shall be okay." And I stayed where I was, busy with what I was doing. In fact, I didn't feel like going. And I got another phone call now from the person's mother and said, "Pastor, please come." And then I realized the situation is dire. So I told my wife, "I'm going. Let me go see what is going on." I drove there. When I got there, this young girl, she was also breathing hard. You can see that something is severely wrong. But I could feel they have faith that I know that when Pastor comes, something is going to happen. There are times as a man of God, I'm just me. I don't feel, some pastor, they say, I feel the anointing. Even when they talk, you can feel the faith in, you can feel the anointing in their voice. And me, when I talk, one day I was in a taxi at night. And when I got into that taxi, there were only men. When I looked at them, I became afraid. So when my stop was coming, I wanted to say, after robot, so that in case they are trying something, my voice must scare them away. So when I talked, I said, after robot. I said, ish. That day I realized that I don't have an anointed voice. It doesn't sound like some men of God. When they preach, they say, hallelujah. And when you hear that hallelujah, already you feel faith. So sometimes I'm just me. I don't feel anything. But when I notice the faith around the people that have called me, then I have to call my God and say, God, you have to do something. And when I enter an environment of faith, sometimes what God does even surprises me, the person who's praying. I laid my hands on that girl. That same time, she became fine. The next morning, the mother called me and said, Pastor, you are a man of God. A man of God. But it wasn't me. It was their faith. They believed. So this gentleman said, Lord Jesus, I know that if you come and you lay my hands on my daughter, you see his faith. He said, I know that if you come and lay my hands on my daughter, something is going to happen. To cut the long story short, Jesus went there. And when he got there, the people told the father of the child, sorry, your child is already dead. Obviously, as a parent, when you hear that, you're just going to sink to the ground, isn't it? So Jesus said to the man, don't worry, she's not dead, she is asleep. Listen to Jesus. She's not dead, she is asleep. When they got to the house, you know, most when someone has died, normally the house gets full very fast. So Jesus came and said, look, the child is not dead, the child is asleep. The people started, why have you brought someone mad like this? The child is dead. We see she's not breathing. The child is dead. Jesus said, the child is not dead. She's asleep. So Jesus went and started trying to pray, but the atmosphere wasn't an atmosphere of faith. So Jesus had to kick everybody out of the house and say, all of you go out. Only the mother and father can come into the room. Because Jesus wanted people around him who believe. And Jesus prayed and said, Talita kumi, which means, young girl, rise up. And the young child rose from the dead. Now, why am I telling you this story? If you want to walk by faith, there are things that you must know. A child of faith always confesses the other reality. Your reality is saying you are dead. But Jesus is saying you are not dead, you are sleeping. So as a child of God, never confess, never speak the natural reality. Always speak God's reality. Amen. Jesus said, the situation is not death. I'm not seeing death. I'm seeing life. If Jesus had met the mistake to say, yeah, the child is dead, but I will try and see what God does, that child would have never risen from the dead. Amen. So as a child of God, don't never ever speak and say, my life. Hey, get la one. Always speak life. Amen. Always speak faith. Amen. You are wealthy. Amen. It is well with your children. Amen. There's a woman whose child had died, and she went to Elijah. And the way that the woman had come, Elijah saw that something is not right. And so Elijah said, "Woman, is everything okay?" Then the woman said, "It is well with my soul." That time her child was dead. And she said, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." That's where that song comes from. It is well. It is well. It comes from that scripture. She said, "It is well with my soul." Because she knew that my child can live again. She knew. So she never confessed the death. So as a child of God, never confess poverty. Never confess sickness. Confess life. Confess your future, that it is well with you. Amen. Learn to speak life. Learn to speak what God is saying about you. Learn to speak what God is saying about your future. Learn to speak what God is saying about your children. Learn to speak what God is saying about your future, your destiny. Amen. It is well with you. Amen. You are going to become great.
Amen.
I said you are going to become great.
Amen.
Do you know KFC? Kentucky Fried Chicken. Do you know KFC? Are you aware of it? KFC today is a multi-billion dollar company, not rand, dollar. One day, there was a man who went and joined the military, the army in America. This man spent his whole life in the army. In his old age, he retired and went back home. When he got home, the situation was bad. He had no money. He had no future. He had nothing. And the only thing he knew to do was cook, because in the army, he was just cooking. And he was in his retirement years. So he decided, the only thing I can do is cook. And in the army, a very shy cook. I mean, his chicken people was always saying, "Yeah, man, you can cook." So he decided to cook his chicken. And cook his chicken. And he put a sign in his house and say, "I'm selling chicken in this house." And he had some smaller dinner tables, and people would come and eat his chicken. When they ate, they say, "Yar, we've never tasted chicken like this before." And his little two tables became four, became five. Suddenly his house was too small for the chicken place. He went and rented a space and was cooking his chicken. And it was growing and growing. And by the time he died, he died as a multi-millionaire. It's never over. As long as you can believe. So I don't care what is going on in your life. Keep believing. Keep believing. There are times when I'm looking at my life, I can't see how the situation can change. My eyes, my mind, I cannot understand how it can change. But I just say, God, I believe in you. When I read my Bible, the Bible says that you will never lose your reward. So I just keep believing in those words.
Amen.
So learn to confess life. Learn to confess life. Learn to confess the future you desire. Learn to confess the word of God. Many of us are so used to speaking bad things about ourselves, about our children, about our future, about we just what one of them? Speak life. Someone says, "Speak life.
Speak life.
Speak life." Sometimes when I look at my daughter, I just feel love for her. And I'll say, "Come here." And I'll lay my hands on her. And I will just prophesy. I just speak life. I just speak it. Even my wife, sometimes when she's asleep. Okay, she doesn't snore. But when she's asleep, I'll just lay my hands while she's sleeping. And I'll just start speaking life. When she's sleeping. Learn to speak life. Learn to speak life. then you will see the power of God. You will see the power of God. I don't care who you are, you will see the power of God. You will see it if you learn to speak life. If you learn to trust in the reality that God is showing you. Am I speaking to somebody?
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. My time is up. Let's rise to our feet. I believe that the Lord has spoken to somebody today. Hallelujah. Will you be a woman of faith?
Amen.
Will you be a man of faith? Your amens are not blessing me already. Because of this message, somebody's life is changing today. Somebody might have decided that you will never amount to anything in life. I came to decree that the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar.
Amen.
You will be great.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when they come and ask you and say, how did you do it? You will not say, ha ha, me, I know mathematics. Before God smacks your mouth, just say, my God is greater than the devil.
Amen.
I believe in his word.
Amen.
You'll be speaking like that.
Amen.
I just want you to pray for yourself for 1 second and say, Lord, I thank you for what I've heard today. Help me to live by it.
Amen.
Help me to believe. Help me, Father. Help me. Sometimes it's difficult to believe, but help me to stand on your word. Even when it looks like it can never work, help me to believe. Open your mouth and begin to talk to the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.